Genesis chapter 32 tonight, Genesis chapter number 32. We've been preaching through this book in the Old Testament together. We've come to this chapter in this book, Genesis chapter 32. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1, Genesis 32, verse number 1. That's the first book of the Bible now. It shouldn't take you too long to get there. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know, but I'm going to act like I know and keep on going. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. I want to draw your attention to a phrase in verse number 7. It's the title of my message tonight. It's the phrase, "afraid and distressed." Afraid and distressed. I preach to you tonight on that subject. Father, we love you. Help us to be faithful to your word. Challenge us from your word, I pray. May you communicate to these precious people what you've already communicated to me in my study. Lord, help me to do an effective job. Get me out of the way. Help me not to say one thing that displeases you. And may everything that's said bring honor and glory to thee. I want to be clean, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're traveling through this book together, we notice when we come to this chapter here that after Laban went back home, Jacob was going on in the will of God towards his homeland. It's key that you understand and remember that it's God's will for Jacob to be traveling back home at this time. But while he was on his way in the will of God, the angels of God met him in verse number 1. It's interesting that when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means double camp, double host. In other words, he had his host with him. He had his people with him. But he recognized that there was another host with him. It was God's host, you see. Jacob was recognizing that his camp had some protectors along with him. It was the camp of God that were coming to tabernacle among them. A man put it this way, when you let God guide your way, he will also guard your way. I like that. Jacob was going on his way home in the will of God. However, there was a potential problem waiting on him there. And that problem was his brother Esau. See, this is the brother that Jacob had left home many years ago because of. The last event involving these two brothers was when Jacob deceived their father, remember, into thinking that he was Esau and stole the blessing that was intended for Esau. And Esau became so enraged against his brother that he devised a plan to kill him when their father died. This was the reason that Jacob had left home and went to Haran. Now, when we come to chapter 32, 20 years have elapsed. 20 years have gone by. But we can see that this event that happened 20 years prior is still fresh on the heart of Jacob. Jacob going on in the will of God is now between a rock and a hard place. Because see, Laban, the one that deceived him, the one that took advantage of him, is behind him. His brother's in front of him. And he's right in the middle. Jacob sent messengers ahead to his brother Esau because he had no idea, is 20 years enough for his rage to calm down? Or I wonder, is my brother still waiting to kill me? So he commanded his messengers. He said, "I want you to go find my brother Esau, and I want you to tell him this, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent them to my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight." See, he's trying to butter him up here is what he's trying to do. The messengers obeyed Jacob and went and found his brother Esau and did as commanded. But when the messengers came back, they came back with a message. And that message was this: yes, we did go tell him everything you said, and he's on his way now to meet you, and he's got 400 men with him. Let me ask you a question. Would that make you a little nervous? Now notice there's no mention of anything Esau said. He didn't answer them. He didn't say, everything's okay, make my brother assured that everything's all right. No, he didn't say anything. He just said, okay, I'm coming. Brought 400 men with him. The Bible tells us when Jacob heard this news that he was greatly afraid and distressed. The word afraid means frightened. It means fearful. It means to live in dread. The word distress means to be vexed. It means to be torn all to pieces. Jacob must have thought that Esau was on his way to destroy him. Why else would he be so afraid? Jacob should have known. Now get this. Jacob should have known that God had already promised protection. Amen, friends. God had already promised him protection. He should have known better, but he's living in a battle between his faith and his fear. The reason I know this is because he's on his way to that land. God told him to go home. But yet Jacob knows Esau's there, but he is at least obeying God's command. He's living by faith, but at the same time, that fear, that flesh, it's going back and forth. Let me ask you a question. You ever been there? You ever been in a place where you know that you're living in the will of God? You know that everything's right. You're on the right pathway, but something is breathing down your neck, and it causes you to get afraid, causes you to be distressed. It's this time of fear and dread in Jacob's life that the Bible says he divided the people into two bands, thinking that if Esau came to the one company and smote it or killed it or knocked it off, then the other company would have enough time to escape. Let me say this to you. He's just using his common sense here, friends. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking precautions. Nothing wrong with taking precautions. As long as you don't trust in those precautions. You trust in the Lord. Jacob is afraid and distressed while on the way that God told him to go. It is this time of being afraid and distressed I want to focus our attention on tonight. There are three things about Jacob during this time in his life when he was afraid and he was distressed that we can all learn from. By the way, most, if not all, when given enough time, we will all find ourselves in times that make us afraid and in times that make us distressed, even when we know better. Now, maybe you're a better Christian than I am. I don't know. But have you ever been going in the will of God and you know that you need to trust God, but something's hit your life, something's coming towards you, it's an uncertainty, you're not sure what the end is going to be, and it causes your heart to swell in fear and swell in distress? It's this time I want us to think about. Three things about Jacob at that time when he was afraid and distressed. Number one, Jacob went to God. He went to God. We see this in verse number 9 and following. Notice what he did. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truths which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Let me tell you something, my friends. Jacob was not always somebody that we could set up as an example for us to follow. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He is an example for us to follow here. It is during this time when he is greatly afraid and distressed. He is living in fear. He even said so. He said, I fear Esau. He said it to himself, but yet he did something that all of us can learn from. You know what that is? He took his problem to God. He went to the Lord. One man put it this way, fears often come to the heart, but faith takes them to God. This fear drove Jacob to his knees. And as we listen in on Jacob pouring out his soul in prayer to God for protection from Esau, there are several thoughts that we can apply to our own prayer life. I want to give you these thoughts about your prayer life right here. Under major thought number one, afraid and distressed, Jacob went to God. His prayer life, he took it to Jesus. He went to God. Even when he knew that he shouldn't be fearing, he still went to God. His faith is clashing with his fear. And he went to God with it. Several things we learn about our prayer life here. First of all, under this, in his prayer life, he claimed God's promises. We see this in verse number 9, verse number 12. Notice his language. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return to thy kindred and unto thy country, thy kindred, I will deal well with thee. Verse 12. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Jacob addressed God as the God of his father Abraham and Isaac. He went on to pray. Now get this. This right here should challenge our prayer life. He went on to pray the words that God spoke to him. In other words, he's just repeating what God told him. You know a great way to pray? Pray the promises of God. Just repeat what he's already given you. Notice how he said the Lord was the one who said, he said, Lord, you're the one who said return home to thy country. You're the one that told me to go home. You're the one that said you're going to deal well with me. This is the promise God had already given to Jacob earlier. And as Jacob prayed to him in this time of being afraid and distressed, he claimed the promises of God. This is a great way to pray, especially during a time of being afraid and during a time of being distressed. Pray the promises of Scripture. I can't tell you how many times I've quoted to the Lord what he gave us in his word. When I'm praying for wisdom, and I try to pray for wisdom every day of my life. I need wisdom. I need God's discernment. I need his understanding to know what to do, what when to do it, how to do it, what not to do, what step to take, what step not to take. Oh, I need God's wisdom. And many times I'll pray James chapter 1, verse number 5. And I'll say, Lord, now you told me, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Only let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. A great way to pray is pray the promises of Scripture. Hey, write down the promises of God and include it in your prayer life. He went to God. First thing about him going to God, he prayed. He claimed the promises of God. Secondly, he confessed some things to God. We see this in verses 10 and 11. Matter of fact, in these two verses, we see Jacob taking the mask off and confessing some things to God during this time. You know, it's good for us to get honest with God. You know what it takes sometimes for us to do that? Trouble. When you have trouble hit your life, when you have an Esau coming to meet you and you don't know what he's bringing, you don't know if he's still angry at you, you don't know if he's coming to destroy you or bless you, you don't know what it's going to end up being. But all you know is that you're on the right road. As far as you know, your heart's right. You're in the will of God, and yet your heart has fear living inside. Your heart has trouble. It's vexed. It's troubled. It's stirred in a wrong way. At that time, you know what happens many times in our prayer life? We take the mask off. We get honest with God. We see him getting honest about three things. He confessed to God. Number one, under this, he confessed his own unworthiness. Look at verse number 10. He said, I am not worthy. You know, it's a good thing when you come into God's presence, don't come demanding. Don't you come thinking it's a privilege for him to have you coming, friends. It is not a privilege for him. It is a privilege for me. I am not worthy for God to listen to my prayers. You listening to me? You're not either. He confessed his own unworthiness. God had been good to him. And he recognized that he was not worthy of that. When we pray, let us realize how unworthy we are in ourselves. Secondly, he confessed God's goodness to him. We see this in verse number 10. Notice it. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truths which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. May I tell you that down in Haran, he was relying on those peeled rods. But through his meetings with God, he came to the point where he confessed something. I realized it wasn't the rods. It was you all along. See, he confessed not only his own unworthiness, but he confessed the goodness of God. He said all the mercies, all the truth, which God had shown unto him. He went on to confess it was God's goodness that allowed him to pass over Jordan with only his staff. And now he had become two large bands. When we pray, let us appeal to God's grace, not our goodness. Let us praise him for his goodness in our lives. In other words, notice how Jacob did not go to God and say, I am worthy for you to hear my prayer. Look at all I've done. Look at all my hands have gotten me. No, he didn't pray that way, friends. When he was afraid and distressed, he got honest. He saw truth as it really is. And he began to take the mask off, and he said, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. God, of all the things that you have done in my life, what a way to pray. Can I say something to you? God's going to start bending an ear to that kind of praying, friends. Somebody says, I'm not worthy to come into your presence. I'm not worthy of what you've done in my life. But I recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. You start praying that way, God's going to start hearing your prayers. Hey, he confessed some things. He's taken the mask off. He confessed his own unworthiness. He confessed God's goodness. But number three, here's something that we all need to take courage with. This should encourage our heart. He confessed his own fear. Notice what he said in verse number 11. Notice this. He's talking to God. He said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother Esau. Right here, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. Notice this now. For I fear him. I fear him. I'm afraid of him. Boy, that challenges me. That encourages me. Here's what I'm saying to you. Hey, was it good that his heart was afraid? Was God pleased with his fear of his brother, yes or no? No! This was sin in his life. He knew he shouldn't be afraid of his brother. He knew better. But friends, here's what I'm telling to you. When he was afraid and distressed, we know this was lack of faith on Jacob's part. He knew he shouldn't be fearing, especially since he had those promises that he knew so well. He quoted them in his prayer life. He knew God had already promised protection. But when he prayed, he got honest. He got honest. He became very transparent with God. He confessed concerning his brother Esau. He said, God, let me tell you something. I'm afraid of him. Can I say something to you? When you find yourself living with fear, and there's something that scares you to death, and you know the promises of God have already promised you deliverance one way or another, you know better that you know that fear should not be there. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you? You know better. You know it's lack of faith. You know that it's that your faith is weak at that time. At that time, you know what God wants? Take the mask off. Tell him, hey, that report I got at the doctor's office, Lord, I just got it this week. I'm going to tell you something, God. I know I shouldn't, but I'm afraid. That scares me. I'm terrified. I know I shouldn't be. Forgive me. Please help me. Please deliver me. But I just want you to know. Now, he already knows anyway, friends. But Jacob is getting honest. Jacob's getting honest. He's getting transparent. When we find ourselves going against God's will and showing lack of faith and living in fear and dread, let us not try to cover it up. Let us get honest with God and tell him exactly how we feel. Don't try to cover it up, friends. You can't cover it up to God anyway. Do you understand that there's no hypocrites with God? There's hypocrites with men, but there's no hypocrites with God. God knows what you're going through. God knows how you feel. God knows if you have lack of faith. So just tell him. Get honest with him. Business picks up when you get honest with God. It really does. Number one, we've noticed Jacob went to God when he was afraid and distressed. Number two, we notice Jacob wrestled with a man. He went to God, but then he wrestled with a man. We see this in verses 24 and following. Notice what happened here. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And Jacob blessed him there. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. See, after Jacob poured his heart out to God, we see in the verses following, verse 13 all the way down through verse number 23, we see in these verses, you can read it later, but he began to devise a plan to appease his brother. He's still leaning on the arm of the flesh a little bit. In those verses, he's gone to God. He's got honest with God. He's taken the mask off. He's confessed his own unworthiness and God's goodness and his own fear. He's claimed the promises of God in his prayer life. And yet he's still devising a plan to appease his brother. What he was going to do is he's going to give his brother many gifts and put a lot of space between the droves and himself, hoping that Esau would accept his gifts ahead of him. His present to his brother went over that night, and Jacob rose that night, the Bible says. The night before he's going to meet his brother the next day. He rose up that night, took his wives and his two women servants, the Bible says, and his 11 sons, and he sent them over the brook Jabbok, along with everything else he had. So see this. He gets this message. Yes, we came to your brother. Yes, we told him what you said. And he didn't tell us anything. He's on his way right now to meet you. And he's got 400 men with him. Obviously, he's probably thinking, this is speculation, but he's probably thinking, if he's coming peaceably, why does he need 400 men with him? He's scared to death. He's afraid. He's distressed. He goes to God in prayer and he begins to repeat the promises that God gave him, and he begins to confess that he's not worthy of anything God had given him, and how God is the one that blessed him, that he went to Haran with just a staff in his hand, but now he's coming back with all of these two bands. He confessed that he was afraid. I'm fearful. I fear him. I fear him. That very night, he gathers a lot of his things as a gift to go out and meet Esau, and he puts droves in front of him. In other words, a group of people, another group of people, and they have gifts because he's hoping, the Bible says it, it even uses the word, he wants to appease his brother. He wants to calm his brother down. He's hoping that his gifts will settle his brother here. Could it be he thinks God needs help here? I don't know. And that very night, when he sends the gifts ahead of him, he takes his own wives, and those two women servants, and all, his 11 sons at that time, and he sends them over the brook Jabbok. And then verse 24 comes into play. He was left all alone. And while he was left alone, it's interesting that a man appeared and began to wrestle with him all night long. It's this wrestling match I want to draw our attention to, because after he went to God in prayer, God sent him a man to wrestle with him that night. Most believe that this man is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. I believe the same thing. This is seemingly brought out in Hosea chapter 12, verses 2 to 5, where it basically says that it was the Lord who wrestled with Jacob. Here we have Jacob the night before the meeting with his brother. Here we have Jacob with his heart full of fear. He's on the right way. He's in the will of God. But he's scared and afraid of his brother. The night before his brother will meet him and he will meet his brother, Jacob gets alone. God met him. Glory. God met him in that secret place. And he began to wrestle all night long. It's interesting that the Bible does not say Jacob wrestled with him. It says the man wrestled with Jacob. Read it yourself. The man wrestled with Jacob. It's interesting that this all took place the night when he was struggling with fear. What I'm saying to you, one person put it this way, what a person is when he is alone tells much about his character. And I've got this statement here, I read this, it said there are no hypocrites in private. Hey, you can put on a facade, you can put on a mask in front of anybody, including every person of this church. Every person in this church can look at you and say, boy, that's a real Christian, but God really knows. There are no hypocrites in private. Jacob got alone and God met him there. See, to be left alone with God is the only true way of arriving at a just knowledge of ourselves and our ways. No matter what we may think about ourselves, nor yet what man may think about us, the great question is what does God think about us? The answer to this question can only be learned when we are left alone. Away from the world, away from self, away from all thoughts, reasonings, imaginings, and emotions of mere nature, alone with God. Thus and thus alone can we get a correct judgment about ourselves. Several thoughts I want to give you about this wrestling match in private. We're talking about afraid and distressed. Number one, Jacob went to God. In that we learn that in his prayer life he claimed the promises of God. And in his prayer life he started confessing to God his own unworthiness and God's goodness and his own fear. He got honest. Because of that, God sent him a man when he got all alone. The world was shut away from him. And while he was all alone, God met him. Boy, those times when God meets you in secret, those are precious times. I want to give you some things about this wrestling match. Number one, it involved Jacob's continuance. It involved his continuance. Verses 24 to 26, I've already read it, but notice how this wrestling match took place all night long. As the wrestling match continued through the night, there came a time when the man said, when the man touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and it came out of joint. Oh, what pain this must have been. The thigh here is a picture of the hip. And what happened was this man, who could have done it any time he wanted, it's God, it's the Lord. Hey, do you think Jacob was really overpowering the Lord? No. God just wants to see how much of his heart's in this. How much do you really want it, Jacob? How much are you willing to go through, Jacob, to get it? Do you really sense your need of my blessing? Here we see this man eventually reaching down and just touching his hip, and it pops out of joint. Oh, what pain that must have been. Have you ever had a hip pop out of joint? Would you raise your hand? Anybody had that? Is that painful? Yes or no? Sure, it's painful. One swift stroke from God and Jacob was helpless. Somebody put it this way, God's touch is not always without pain. Well, that's a great statement. Jacob is wrestling for a blessing from God. He needed this touch to face his fear, you see. He was afraid. His heart was doubting, and he needed God's touch to face this fear in the morning. God was patient with him all night. Now the Lord reaches down and puts his hip out of joint. And here's what I've got down here. Would Jacob now quit? Would he now quit because it got a little bit painful? Would he now throw in the towel because now he's discouraged? He's living in pain. If he stops, get this, if he stops during this time of pain, he may never have the power he so desperately needs. What will he do after this match had gone on for hours. Hour after hour after hour. Can't you imagine? I didn't wrestle a lot. I wrestled my brother some. I think I hit him on the head more than one time, the way he acts nowadays. But hey, if you've wrestled any stretch of the time, that wears you out, friends. Jacob has wrestled with this man all night. He's tired. He's weary. And lo and behold, it comes to get to about the breaking of the day, and he has the worst pain he's ever had in his life. His hip is now out of place. Notice in verse number 26, the man told Jacob, while his hip's out of place, the man said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. The sun is rising. Let go of me." Notice what Jacob said. He said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." See, Jacob was in a time of being afraid. He was in a time of being distressed. He desperately needed a special blessing from God. He needed a touch from God. He was determined to persist even in the weariness and even in the pain in order to get the blessing of God upon his life. Jacob refused to let go. He just held on to God. Glory, that's blessing me right there. He was brought to the point in this wrestling match that he could no longer wrestle. All he could do was hold on. There's a man that said, "Jacob does not mean to wrestle all night for nothing, but humbly resolves he will have a blessing. And rather shall all his bones be put out of joint, then he will go away without a blessing." Can I say something to you? God, give me that spirit. God, give me the spirit that Jacob had here. That when I know I'm in the will of God, and I'm going on in the will of God, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and lo and behold, I hear about an Esau coming his way towards me. And he's got 400 men with him. And I catch my heart afraid and distressed, and I'm torn all to pieces. God, give me the spirit of Jacob, that even when I'm afraid, I take my request to God, and I pour my heart out to him, and I start claiming his promises. I start praying what he's already said. I start confessing that I'm unworthy of anything he does for me. And I start confessing how good he's been to me. And I start getting honest and say, I'm not going to try to sweep it under the rug. I'm living in sin. I'm lack of faith here. I'm afraid. I'm scared. And I'm going to tell you, God hears prayers like that. And every now and then, he wants you to prove to him, do you really want a blessing? Do you really want the power? Do you really want his help? If you want it, you're not going to prove it in public. You're going to prove it in private. You get alone with God, there comes a time that it takes a long time. You may get tired. You may get weary. And there may be times of pain. But when you hear the voice of God saying, "Let me go," it's not that he wanted him to let him go. It's that he was testing him. Are you going to let me go because it hurts, Jacob? You going to let me go because it's a little bit wearisome? Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." It involved his continuance. It involved his confession in verse number 27. After he refused to let go, notice what this man said. Notice what the Lord said. He said, "What's your name?" Now, is that because the Lord didn't know who he was? No. He's saying, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jacob." We know the Lord already knew the answer to this question. He was not asking for his own knowledge, but rather for Jacob's confession. See, when Jacob said, "I am Jacob," The name of Jacob means I'm a supplanter, I'm a man full of guile, I'm a deceiver. In this we see Jacob confessing who he was. The all-night wrestling match caused Jacob to see who he was, see. Jacob didn't come out saying, boy, I'm such a great person. No, when the man said, who are you? He said, I'm a deceiver, that's who I am. I'm full of guile. Call me Jacob. It involved confession. Thirdly, it involved a change. We see this in verse number 28. See, once Jacob confessed, once Jacob continued on with God, refusing to let him go without his blessing, and once he confessed to who he is, I'm a deceiver, I'm full of guile, then the man said, your name is no more Jacob. He said, your name now is Israel. You know what Israel means? It means you're a prince with God. It means you now have God's power on your life, boy. That's what it means. I'm telling you that Jacob the supplanter has been changed to Israel, the prince with power with God. One person put it this way, said the wrestling took place to reduce Jacob to a sense of nothingness, to cause him to see what a poor, helpless, and worthless creature he was. It was to teach us through him the all-important lesson that in recognized weakness lies our strength. Number one, afraid and distressed, Jacob went to God. Number two, he wrestled with a man. But number three, and finally, he walked with a limp. He walked with a limp. We see this in verse number 31. When everything is said and done, notice what happened. And he passed over Penuel. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. And he halted upon his thigh. That word halt there means to limp. He's had an all-night prayer meeting. He's held on to God all night long. And the Bible says eventually, look at verse number 29, the last phrase, and he blessed him there. He's received God's blessing. He's got the power of God. He's had a name change. He's gone from supplanter to prince with God. And when the sun rose, he's now. And here's what I want you to go home with, friends. Look at me. He's walking with a limp. He's walking with a limp. Boy, God spoke to me about that. You know what's happening here, friends? Let me tell you what happens. This means the result of his meeting with God was now evident to those around him. It means that others could see God's touch on his life. God had marked him, you see. God had given him something to remember the night that he wrestled for the blessing that he received. This limp, as he limped along, would be a constant reminder to Jacob of his meeting with God. This limp would keep Jacob humble and dependent upon his God. I'm just about done. Let me say this to you. I can look at my own life and see the marks of God upon my life. My heart catheterization as a junior high student, when they went up to check my heart and they thought they were going to have to put a pacemaker in me. By the way, they did find a heart, friends, just in case you're wondering. I think about my three knee surgeries. I think about things in my life. That those things are my limp. They're my limp. They're the things that God has given me to remind me He has something greater for my life. He has something better for me to do. I'm going to tell you something. You know what we need around our church? Christians who limp. Christians who have a stutter in their step. Christians who, when they have lack of faith, at least take it to the right place. Christians who have the mark of God upon their life. Friends, you may find yourself in times of fear and dread. You may find yourself in a place where you're afraid and distressed. But learn these lessons from the life of Jacob. You must go to God in prayer. Find time alone with Him. And hold on to Him until He blesses you. Jacob must prevail with God before he could prevail with Esau. The answer to being afraid and distressed is a wrestling match with the Lord Jesus. Begging and pleading for His help and blessing upon your life and refusing to let go until He says, "You are no longer Jacob. You are now Israel. You're a prince with the power of God." Oh, how my heart craves to have the power of God on my life. I want it. I need it. I've got to have it. But it does not come without any effort. I must be willing to get down and get sweaty and hear the blessed Son of God say, "Let me go." I need Him to give me the faith to say in the pain and in the weariness and being tired and worn down, "God, help me to say, I will not let You go except Thou bless me." Oh, Lord God, help us. Oh, I feel His presence tonight. I feel His sweet Spirit speaking to my heart and saying, "Jody, do you mean what you preach? I'm waiting in the ring. Jump on in, boy. Let's wrestle a while." Do you need Him tonight, friends? Yes or no? Hey, husbands, do you need Him in your marriage? Hey, wives, do you need Him in your marriage? Hey, parents, you need Him raising your children. Hey, bus captain, you need Him on your bus route. Hey, Sunday school teacher, you need Him in your classroom. Hey, pastor, you need Him lead this church. Hey, we need the man who wrestled with Jacob. And sometimes He does not use us until He pops bones out of joint. Sometimes it's through pain that we become a prince. Afraid and distressed, Jacob went to God. Jacob wrestled with a man. Jacob walked with a limp. May the Lord help us with this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Help us tonight. Challenge us from Your word. Thank You for how You meet with us. Thank You for how You speak to us. God, help us to stop playing church. Help us to stop playing the Christian life. And help us, Lord God, to go to You in prayer. To wrestle with You all night long if it takes it. To hold on to You until You bless us. We need Your power. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're playing through softly. I ask you tonight, are you born again? Are you a Christian? Has there been a time where you've understood that you're a sinner and Jesus died for you and was buried and rose again for your justification? Has there been a time where you've repented of your sin, received Christ and Christ alone? If not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can be saved. Let me ask this question. You say, "Jody, I'll be honest tonight. There's something in my life that's making me afraid. I fear that, or I fear him, or I fear her, whatever." But you say, "Jody, I can identify with Jacob, afraid and distressed." Is there somebody like that? Say, "Jody, pray for me. God is speaking to me about this. I'm afraid. I'm distressed. I'm being honest about it." Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. God bless you. That's several of you. God bless you. Let me ask this. Have you say, "Jody, God's speaking to me about my prayer life. Claiming His promises, confessing my unworthiness, His goodness and my fear. Just being honest, God is speaking to me about that. Your prayer life, would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God bless you. That's several hands there. How many say tonight, Jody, God's speaking to me about just holding on. Just holding on. Refusing to let go of Him. Holding on for His power. Holding on for His blessing. God's speaking to me about how much I need Him. He's challenging my heart about just holding on. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about that. I need to hold on. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Boy, that's several hands there. God bless you. If you raise your hand to anything, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. If you cannot kneel, come to the front pew and just sit down. If you do not choose to come forward, if you don't think God's in that, then you stay right there at your seat, but you pray there at your seat and make it an altar. Let's all stand together, shall we? Father, we love You. Bless this. Use us in a mighty way. Challenge our hearts. Change us where we need to be changed. And give us the faith to hold on, even in fear. Help us hold on. May the will of God help us now, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Some have already responded. As Brother Gary sings, the first note you come, as he sings, come, please. God spoke to you, leave your place, come. God spoke to you, leave your place, come. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord. God, help me hold on. Give me your blessing. Help me to continue. Help me get honest. Seek your power.
Friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone.
Still standing, I'd like you to look this way. There's folks praying. We'll give them a few minutes here. Here's one thing the Lord's been dealing with me about as far as this church is concerned. We're coming up with all these plans and all these programs and these ministries. There's nothing wrong with those things. We're going to do more and more of that, God willing. But really what we need is not more programs. We don't really need more ministries. We need more of God. We need God's power. See, if we're not careful, we fall prey to the thought, look what we can do for God. When God's emphasis is, I want to do it through you. Beg me for my power. This is what we need. No question about it. Question about it. Let's sing that first verse one more time, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, this will be it tonight as he sings.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus.
This will be our closing prayer. Sing it out.
Well known, you've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
I'll go ahead and dismiss all of the parents of the current sixth graders all the way through 11th graders. If you'll be dismissed, you can go right down both these sides here downstairs. We'll give them just a moment to get a head start. And then we'll let you be dismissed. Hang in your place just a moment till these parents start coming this direction or that direction. Okay, folks, God bless you. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed. If you need to see me, I'll be here just for a moment, and then I'm going downstairs in this meeting. God bless you. Have a good night.